You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play music in the spoken word.
Now playing music in the spoken word.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Welcome to another episode of Relentlessly Resilient, where real people share their real life experiences and the tools they've learned to move forward and live their best life. I'm Jenny Taylor, and today I am here with Tanya Kirkland. Tanya, how are you?
Hello! I'm great. I'm so excited to be here today.
Okay, this is so great. Thanks for joining us, because turns out you and I have known each other since junior high, but just recently got reconnected to record today on this podcast through a common friend who really refers to everyone as her sister. I love her. This friend of ours, Kate, who she's my sister, she's your sister, she's everyone's sister. I love her.
And we'll have
her on another day, because she has her own stories of resilience and overcoming and just perseverance to tell. But today it's you, Tanya.
Thank you.
Let's start. Who are you? Give us a story. Not everyone's known you since junior high. Can you introduce yourself for us?
Who am I? I love this question. It is something I actually remind myself of daily. I remember who I am. So I love that that's how you started this. I am a Jesus-loving, following mom of three boys. I'm married to an incredible man. I live in sunny St. George, and I have the honor and privilege of knowing my calling in life. I am a life
coach. That's a bold statement, and I love that.
Yep, it is who I am.
So tell us, when and where did you discover this calling, and how long have you been doing this as a professional calling, I guess? And did you always know that was your calling?
I think I've always known, even as like a child, I remember wanting to give advice. And that's what I've learned about coaching, is it's actually not giving advice. It's totally different.
Which almost feels counterintuitive.
Yes. Coaching is actually the power and ability to listen to someone, to hear the thoughts that they are having that are keeping them stuck, repeating those thoughts and allowing someone to discover how to overcome, how to conquer, how to become better.
Wow. I love that, because I'm laughing when you said I always wanted to give advice. I'm like, oh, me too. Maybe I should be a life coach. I've always wanted to tell everyone what they should do with their lives. I've always kind of been that bossy little girl that thought I knew the answers.
Me too.
And then I'll tell you, real life happens, and pretty soon sometimes maybe I want to give you advice, but I'm not sure what advice to give myself. And I'm not sure what step to take. And do I go left or do I go right? Do I go north? Do I go south? And sometimes the best plans we make then lead to either a dead end or an abrupt fork in the road that we didn't see coming. And I love how you're coaching what you just said, that you help people who might be inhibiting themselves. Is it my own fear, my own worry, my inability to make a decision? Maybe that's my roadblock. And you're not going to tell me how to do it, because, oh man, sometimes that's what I want, though. I want someone to just tell me how to do it. But at the same time, I don't want you to tell me what to do. You know, that contradiction.
You don't want to follow my instructions, right?
But what about discovery? So let's talk about that. When did you discover the field of life coaching? Let's start there.
So I would say that is really fun, like when I discovered. So I am 44. So I would say when my youngest started elementary school, there was some cultural questions that came up of, what are you going to do next? What's next for you? Was it go get a job? Was it go back to school?
Had you been home, like stay-at-home mom life for,
I've been a mom. So this was the next phase. This was what was next for me. And I wanted someone to tell me what to do. I wanted to go to someone and have someone say,
lightning in the sky,
this is it. Here you are. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Because we all want that. But
well, we want clarity, we think. We want certainty. Well, like, this is where I have to be or what I should be doing. And so it's not scary.
And I would say the thought error behind that, Jenny, is we don't want to make a mistake.
For sure.
If we were willing to go all in, no matter what, whether we win or whether we lose, we just know that we are moving forward, that we are trying to accomplish something, then we would be so much more confident and empowered, right? If we have the fear of failure, and I don't know is one of my favorite little phrases. And let me just really quick teach you. So
okay.
When someone asks a woman over 40 of what is next for her, and her answer to that question is, I don't know, that's the thought error.
Okay, I love that you call the thought error. That's very good. Keep going.
The statement is, you are the only one on the planet that knows what's next for you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because you are the only one who knows what you want or who knows the most about yourself. You're the only one. It's only you.
Okay, so when your little one went back to school full time, I'm guessing first grade, how many years ago was that? And did you immediately say, that's it, I'm life coaching it?
No. So that actually was, let's see, that was 6 years ago.
Okay.
And what I did soon after that is I homeschooled my kids.
Okay.
I asked my husband to quit his job, and we did the van life and traveled the country. Like, that was discovery. Yes, I know. So what was next?
So your kids went back to school full time, and then you pulled them all out of school.
Yeah.
I love it. Tell me more.
I need this. They're growing up too fast, and let's freeze this.
How old were the kiddos?
He was actually in second grade. So that first year, I would say it was just, I don't know what to do.
Sure.
It's a
huge transition period, especially if you've been out of the work field and in the home.
Yeah.
I know a lot of friends that are in the same situation where that youngest child is now at school all day and you do find yourself kind of where, okay, so you had a second grader. How old were the other two boys?
And then I had a sixth grader and an eighth grader. So.
And you just said, that's it. We're going to spend some time as a family. We're out of here.
I asked the question, what is next for our family? What is next? And one of the things I knew is I wanted them all to myself. I wanted to try it.
Okay. But not just at home. I mean, a lot of people homeschool and they want to have that educational environment where they are schooling the children and having, like you said, having them to themselves or not sending them off all day. But you're saying you didn't just homeschool the kids for a year. You packed them up. You had your husband quit his job. So lots of questions here. One of them becomes, well, how do you pay for that? Because without an income, how do you van life it?
It was a van life. So first 6 months, I wanted to be home just so that I could get a feel for like true homeschooling.
Okay.
And understanding that. So we only did a full month travel of the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
And that was just me and my kids. So I left my husband here. He was still doing his job.
Going to work,
loves his job. So that's the other hard part is I couldn't get him to quit.
Well, I can kind of see why. Like, did you have a magical way to earn money without working at his job?
So we do. Yes. So he's a trader of the Forex market, which is a money currency exchange for years. So, and it was finally like almost like a shove of like, okay, you're going to do this full time now and we're going to do this. Like,
portable.
We had a good chunk of savings. Yes.
Got it.
We had a good chunk of savings and you're going to do this.
Okay.
So I went and did the Pacific Northwest with the kids. We came back and it was like, it was awesome. We enjoyed it. And now we're going to gear up for when we leave next year. So that was in the fall.
Okay.
So then we actually ended up leaving in March. And part of the drive for this, my why, was I wanted to discover the best place to live. Like, a part of that was like, I'm looking for something outside of myself.
Okay.
I'm looking to satisfy something outside of myself. So with that, I had learned of Jody Moore, who is an amazing, incredible life coach who is certified through the life coach school. And as we traveled, I binge listened to her. Mm. So that was part, and you know, as we listened to those, her podcasts, and understanding really the power of your mind and what is possible when you have someone who will listen to you and allow you to identify those pieces that are keeping you stuck.
So sounds like by March, the time you left in March for the van life, your husband did quit his regular job, did come with you, and you were gone a year?
We actually were only gone for 2.5 months.
Oh,
the idea was like, let's be gone for a year. So it ended up, there's like this miracle that happened when we finally got to Washington, D.C. We ended up buying a Sprinter. It's over 10 feet tall. You can't park in big cities. And we had
can't go through
Washington,
the drive-thru at most places. My sister has one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know.
Great vehicle, so, but Washington, not the D.C. most convenient.
Yes. New York City, Philadelphia, and Boston were our next four stops. And I was like, no, we're not doing this. We had this moment. It was like this rad, just like, aha moment where I came to him and I said, I'm done. And he looked at me and he said, I'm done. And literally 2 seconds later, the phone rang and it was his boss. And he said, I never hired anyone for your position.
When are you coming back? Oh, perfect. So that worked out great.
It was so cool. Yeah. So, but on that trip, that was the discovery. As I was looking for somewhere to live outside of St. George. And what I found is I love it here. And I also found that I wanted to be a life coach. I wanted to help people with their thoughts and what the sentences that run in our brains and the sentences in our brains that stop us.
So this, it sounds to me like you had this opportunity to get out of the norm, out of the status quo, binge listen some really inspirational, motivational, really therapy, for lack of a better word, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like modern therapy. It doesn't look the same as our parents or grandparents' day of seeing a psychiatrist on the couch or something, but this coaching approach.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does it take to become a life coach after loving listening to another life coach?
Yeah, so as I listened to Jody, I was like, this is amazing, but this isn't my meat and potatoes. I'm looking for meat and potatoes. I need to know what she knows. And so, again, she's certified through the Life Coach School with Brooke Castillo, who is a phenomenal coach. She has created this school specifically for training people on how to understand thinking and how to overcome fear, doubt, all of it. It just is this tool, like, you know, at the beginning you had introduced us and talked about these tools. That's exactly what I feel like I purchased were tools to enable and empower me to become my best self.
I love that.
So I did the same certification as Jody.
How long does it take?
It was a year. I had a full year, and I certified at the end of 2020. So I've been a life coach almost for 3 years.
Okay. So that's great. We are going to take a quick break and come back and jump into what it is you have learned or continue to learn about resilience on this life coach journey that you've embarked on. We'll be right back.
We are so happy to have Minky Couture as the sponsor of Relentlessly Resilient. We both have several blankets to get us and our families through cold winter nights.
They make the best, softest, most indulgent blankets and the best gifts.
Any time of year, doesn't matter. Seriously, it's like giving somebody a hug that they can have anytime they need one.
Visit Minky in-store or online at minkycouture.com. Treat yourself or a loved one to the gift of comfort today. Okay, so Michelle, here we are with Tanya. We are always looking to be resilient, build resilience, be able to face life with resilience. And now we have a life coach on the line. You're training to become a life coach.
I am.
Tanya and Michelle, let's have both of you talk a little bit about what that process is to become. We hear the word certify, so clearly there's some type of training, but maybe just give me life coach 101, if that makes sense, not exactly what it means to be the life coach, but what is the process to become a life coach? I'd love to hear from both of you and the different schools of thought.
So I just want to clarify that I was not here for the first segment. So if it sounded like I was ignoring everybody or checked out.
She was actually life coaching.
I was actually in school for life coaching and was a few minutes late.
She was certifying.
Yeah.
I love you.
Doing the work.
Doing the work. So first of all, life coaching is different than therapy
or bossiness
or bossiness or any of those things, because we believe that people are whole, complete, and resourceful. And so because we believe that, our purpose is really to be able to be reflective, to support people in discovering their own answers. And we do that through questions, really, being curious, being interested, and being present.
I love that. So what does the training look like? Have you gone to like a school, Michelle? Is it virtual? You're meeting in like Zoom groups, independent, small group study?
Yeah. So there's a lot of options for life coaching schools. You can go attend schools. I am enrolled in Jay Shetty's International Coaching Program. He has a personal mission to make wisdom go viral. And he wants to hit 1 billion people over the next, I think it's 5 years or something like that. So it's a huge goal. He's getting people enrolled as coaches, but he's also helping build business plans and structure. So you're not just getting the training, you're getting the business end of the business as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so you're not just thrown out the door. Some coaching schools are 2 weeks. So, you know, if you're out there, and I'm not going to say that some are more valuable than others. I think it really depends always on the person is the right person for
sure.
you.
Sure. And that'd be true with like a university track as well. Like if I'm going to get some type of training or education, I've got to find the right fit. That's why I love the idea. Both of you are here. Both of you are phenomenal at what you do. And you've chosen 2 different schools. And I think that's great.
Yeah. So Jay Shetty's program is a 6-month program, but it is intense.
Is it?
I've been putting in 10-hour days doing modules. And there's a lot of pieces to it. So there's understanding what coaching is itself, the ethics behind it, when to refer a person that is in need of skills outside our scope of practice.
Coaching is not therapy.
There are times if somebody is really triggered or is not able to process maybe past trauma, they may need. And some people may not. Some people may be able to do it through coaching. And being able to ask themselves questions and process it through, they may be able to do that on their own. And at other times, it can be a place where
maybe
this is no longer appropriate.
Sure.
So there's that. So back to the schooling process, it's a lot of like learning those processes. And then it's having people that, like, I'm going to be looking for 5 people to bring on. And I'm going to offer a 6-week program where I can take them through the process. Those will be recorded and only shared with the Jay Shetty School for evaluation, for
like a clinical
feedback. Exactly.
Yeah. That's great.
And so you get information that way as well. And so it's very comprehensive depending on the school you choose.
Sure.
I have a friend that's going to go to Amsterdam for a 2-week program. There's no way in 2 weeks to be able to get all this kind of in-depth evaluation. And so, you know, that doesn't mean that that coaching program will be not valuable.
Sure.
But
a different approach.
But I think that it's important for people when they're considering a coach, because anyone can be a coach. It's not regulated. There's no requirement for certification.
Like an online pastor. I could just declare myself a clergy.
Yeah.
Or a
life
coach.
Which is why we hear everyone is a coach.
Sure.
And, you know, the grocery store clerk, she's a coach. The librarian, she's a coach. Like, everybody's a life coach, but not everybody's a great life coach. And not everyone's doing it as a practice. And that's a big difference.
Sure.
And I think in order to be really good at coaching, it's really about taking your own stuff on every day and being willing to be in the process yourself.
Oh, I love that. Tanya, let's hear about your journey through your coaching.
I would just say amen to that.
Oh, yeah.
That was so good, Michelle. Yes. You get to be the student first.
Right.
That's the most powerful part. And so
I like
I
to
am
say
sort of,
student yes. first and always.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Always.
Always.
As a school teacher in the room, I'll
so
take
true.
That.
Yes. Yes. I certified, again, through the Life Coach School, and my program was 1 year. Brooke runs a couple of different options. Again, she has a short time, but she has a longer extended year program. Ours, it comes with course material, and we have a weekly meeting that we do homework for and attend, and in those meetings, it is required that we all be there. That is where our practicum and our clinicals take place, is that forum. there was 10 of us in my cohort, a lady from Salt Lake, and then I had a lady from France, I had a lady from New York. Wow. It was just so powerful.
So virtual, together. Exclusively virtual.
Yeah.
Both of you? Okay.
Yeah.
You need to be somewhere. Mm-hmm. You can be where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. Wasn't it amazing? I mean, for me, Jay Shetty School is international as well. So there's people from Dubai. There's people from all over the world.
That's beautiful to get such different perspectives, especially
Australia,
where so much of life is cultural. Mm-hmm. Like Tanya, like you said at the beginning, we in the culture here in the stay-at-home mom world of Utah culture, a lot of us aren't in the workplace until our kids go back to school. Then we find our kids back in school going, what do I do? That might be completely different in a European mindset or the Middle Eastern mindset.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so culture is a huge piece of coachable and coached, I would think.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I like about the Jay Shetty School, because you can't coach people unless you have an understanding of the culture and an awareness of what's offensive, what's not offensive, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. And so you really have to leave your own judgments out of it anyway in coaching, but it's a whole
level. Yeah, you can't pass your baggage on to somebody else.
No, we don't get
I'd be a bad life coach. Never mind. I'll just come to you too. Okay, Tanya, tell me, what is
diversity? I was just going to add, diversity, equity, and inclusion is something that is like so foundational and important to the life coach school too. Like you said, that piece of just being open and removing judgment. I just wanted to add to what Michelle shared. There's so much. The power of being open and loving and listening with your two ears and your one mouth. You know,
I'm loving this. I need to sign up with both of you because sometimes our judgment is the worst from ourselves. At least for me, I think I'm my biggest block of what should I or could I or what's expected or what will people think or what would I think 5 years ago of me today? Like I'm a different person.
Yeah.
So
the great joy of life coaching, like because you just brought it up, is it's really an opportunity for us to uncover, to fall away all of the expectations that we've placed on ourselves from or had placed upon us from our parents. Our educators,
our own mindset, our
spouses, our children, right?
Yeah.
And who am I? And it's really about getting to that authentic place of feeling whole within yourself and discovering what is my joy? What really brings me joy? What is my purpose? What is my value for being here on this planet? What am I going to contribute? Because really, ultimately, at the end of the day, most of our joy in life truly comes from serving others.
Yeah. From what we give. Yeah. We give. Okay, so Tanya, what does your life look like as a life coach? Walk me through now the profession. Like we joked a minute before, I know what traditional therapy looks like. You come in, you lay on the couch, the therapist has a clipboard. Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that's what it is, but I think that's what we kind of default to. And I'll tell you, you know,
I love, though, that you brought it at the beginning that this is not therapy.
Yeah.
And again, what Michelle said, too, of we are so aware of, are we bringing up past trauma? Is that actually something that is triggering you right now? And that caution and kindness and love, it's therapy with like this huge love bundle. It's this ability for you to understand you. And again, like Michelle said earlier, this is not me telling you what to do. This is not me coaching you.
You're helping people discover.
Absolutely.
So what does that look like? You have a client, is your practice virtual as well as your training was virtual? Can you coach anyone from anywhere in the world?
Absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. That's
most of my coaching practices will be on Zoom.
Just virtual.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how mine's set up as well. I have a little home office with a microphone and a video camera and away you go.
Yeah. So, Tanya, walk me through if you had a new client. Let's just pretend it's me. Pretend I'm your new client.
Yeah.
I'll be your guinea pig. What would that initial look like? What would you start with? What would you maybe ask of or assign me to do or what? And let's maybe just go through the initial phase of how life coaching can help someone.
This is the initial start is free. And I love this part. This is your discovery. You get 45 minutes with me to sit down and let's talk about you, Jenny. Let's talk about what is going on for you. But more importantly, let's focus on that question of what next? What is next for you? And if the answer, again, we go back to, if the answer is, I don't know, we're going to go back to what is, I don't know. Who doesn't know? You don't. Okay, so let's ask some more questions to help you overcome your dream stealer. I don't know.
I love that.
I don't know is the biggest dream stealer.
So are we then in this coaching practice, are you with the same person for months and months, for weeks and weeks? Is it kind of depending on the person? Again,
it's
I'm just trying to get a feel
custom.
For the...
Okay. It's completely custom. Yeah. I don't have a class program. Michelle had kind of talked about you bring people in for a certain amount of time. Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong, but you bring them in for a certain amount of time and you coach on as a group so that everyone can glean and learn from each other. It's so powerful in a group context. I don't do that. I only work one-on-one.
Okay.
So my time with you is specifically, we set that up. First, initially, though, we set up this free consultation. You jump on my calendar. You see what works with your schedule and mine. We talk about it. We sit down and we say, let's talk about what's next. And
so do you
in
find...
that 45 minutes,
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
You get to discover me, but I also get to discover you. And we talk about what has come up. What are some of the pieces that I saw as you told me your story?
I do the same thing, and I use the same word, discovery. I contracted with a life coach I hired last year. He calls it an engagement call.
Okay.
And that call really is to feel like, are we going to engage in this process? And it's an opportunity both for the client, but also for the coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the coach may identify this person is triggering my own stuff.
Sure.
And it may
maybe
not
we're not
be,
a good fit either direction.
It may not be a good direction. Can I self-manage these things? Am I going to be able to work on these issues myself and stay kind of ahead of the game?
Sure.
Or is this probably not...
It's a bad match.
It's a bad match and I need to reach out to my network and refer.
Okay.
Yeah. That's exactly my process as well.
Okay, so I love this. One last question, then we'll take a quick break. Do you, with your, you've now had about 3 years, it sounds like, of practicing, 2 or 3 years, do you have more clients that are kind of short-term, hey, help me discover, and then I'm on my own? Or do you have more that are kind of, you're regularly still there, long-term, and maybe some of both?
Yeah, I actually have a mix of both.
Okay.
Yep, I have a mix of both. I have 3 clients that I have been with for almost over a year and a half, actually.
Okay.
And we meet on a regular basis. And then I have those that I've only worked with. I had one client that I worked with for a month.
Okay.
And just
so again,
the
very
process
customizable.
Of learning. Yes, absolutely. Yep. Yep. She was able to build her own tools that she felt like she could then take off and run with.
She just needed the guidance to discover what she could
just
do.
Just kind of a,
Okay.
Exactly.
So I love that. There's no one size fits all. There's no mandated. It has to be 6 sessions or 13 weeks or whatever.
And I am aware of coaches that offer sliding scales, like anything from $25 to $250. My coach was a 6-month engagement initially, and it was $10,000.
Oh, wow.
But that allowed me coaching sessions every other week and a call if I needed in between that week. So a lot of access.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, the scale's all over the place and there's someone for everyone.
Sure.
So if.
Yep. So don't think you're priced out.
You're
or
not
be,
priced out.
Right.
Even if you're on a limited time and budget, you could find someone who could at least help you over some hurdles.
Yeah.
Fair?
And it's great
Absolutely.
Because you can hop
into
life coaching for, let's say you are hitting up against a wall and you just are stuck and you just keep recycling through whatever the issue might be. Let's say you're having a conflict with somebody at work and you're not able to find a way to resolve it. You're not able to resolve it through HR or your manager or whatever. And so you decide maybe this is about me and maybe I need some coaching. You could hop into coaching. Maybe it's a 6-week process and you're going to learn tools and you're going to discover ways to help yourself, ask yourself the questions you need in order to advance and move forward.
And not be stuck.
And not,
I love
and
it.
And get unstuck.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay, we are going to take one more break and then we're going to come back and have Tanya help us learn what you have learned about resilience through both learning to become a coach and also coaching other people. We'll be right back.
We
are so happy to have Minky Couture as the sponsor of Relentlessly Resilient. We both have several blankets to get us and our families through cold winter nights.
They make the best, softest, most indulgent blankets and the best gifts.
Any time of year, doesn't matter. Seriously, it's like giving somebody a hug that they can have anytime they need one.
Visit Minky in-store or online at minkycouture.com. Treat yourself or a loved one to the gift of comfort today. All right, Tanya. So I imagine in order to be a coach, you must have a fair level of resilience yourself to not be beaten down by the people you're trying to help. But also, I would imagine that you learn from your clients. I know, again, I've said before, I'm a school teacher, and anytime I teach anything, I, of course, find myself learning far more than the student I taught. So can you just tell us, what is resilience to you, and maybe how has your pursuit of life coaching and profession as a life coach helped you learn about that resilience?
I love that. You know, as you were talking about being the teacher and how you learn more than the student, that totally applies to life coaching certification, which, way to go again, Michelle. I just want to give you a big shout out for your accomplishment. It is such a big thing to discover who you are, because you have to do that. In order to be a coach, you have to get in and look at the things that are hard and look at the things that are challenging for you. And I think when we go back to, if I could just show up and tell people what to do and they would listen to me and do all the things that I've asked them to do, life would be so much better for everyone. Of course, my children, my husband.
I was going to say,
everyone,
what about my kids?
They would just, yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Every parent should have some basic life coach training, let's be honest.
Absolutely.
That's funny. I immediately went to my kids when you said that.
Yep. Yes. That was my thing too, of like, I was born to do this. Like I shared at the beginning, I was born to do this. But more importantly, it was the self-discovery part. And that is the part of, I was willing to mess up. I was willing to do it wrong, and I was willing to get up and try again. And when we get in and try to learn about ourselves, it's sometimes not fun and sometimes not pretty. Actually, most of the time it's not fun.
I was just going to say, I don't know what parts
right?
of fun, like, you had.
Yeah, there's that piece of discovery or uncovering. I loved your engagement statement, Michelle, but I would say uncovering of who I am, but also a piece of that is who I want to be. So as I discover who I am and what's going on for me right now, what are the hard things? What is the difficulty? Is it just getting out of bed today? And let's understand what truly is going on for me. Let's look at that. Me as a human. A human who just wants to be loved, a human who is a mess, a human who will make mistakes and drop our perfectionistic ideal life and allow us to be present and allow us to be here in this moment and find and seek the joy of right now with the idea that it may suck today. It may be the worst day ever. And that's okay. I'm going to allow that. I'm going to let that be here. I'm going to let myself feel this, let it be here, and learn how to overcome.
I love all of that. I mean, that's such a comprehensive look at resilience. I wrote down, that. Hey, said you were willing to mess up, do it wrong, and then get up and try again. And Michelle, before you got in here at the very beginning, Tanya had said something that really resonated with me. You know, what would we try, each of us, what would be willing to try if we weren't so worried about failing something? You know, what if we weren't held back by that fear? What if we knew it might suck sometimes and that's okay? Mm-hmm. And we might fall down sometimes and that's okay. And we can still grow and climb to new heights because we're not so worried about what if, because the truth of the matter is it's going to suck sometimes.
And we're going to fail.
And you're going to fail and fall.
We're going to fail a lot.
And why are we always so surprised when things don't go as planned? Mm-hmm. Like, haven't we learned by now? Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is very timely for me because I am, my baby's not yet in school, but she's getting to that age. I don't have a baby at the moment, like a small baby. I'm not pregnant with a nursing baby, which for like a decade and a half, that I didn't have to worry about what to do next, because what to do next was feed the baby, change the diaper, drive somebody to school. Mm-hmm. It was very thought out for me by the fact that I'm trying to raise these seven little people who, you know, need everything all day. But I think we each get to those transition points in our lives, mm-hmm. whether it's as a child grows, as a marriage ends or blossoms, or someone passes away, or a career change, or just maybe you wake up one day and say, I'm ready to not do things exactly the same as I've done them the last 43 years, mm-hmm. you know, for whatever reason. Yeah. It doesn't have to involve tragedy or kindergarten children going into first grade.
No, it could just be low-level depression.
Just the time of change where you can sense maybe it's a time to transition. It's a time to change. And what would you do if you weren't afraid of not being able to do it perfectly the first time around? That's good food for thought.
Well, that's my niche. I'm going to be doing transition training, whether it's leaving a religion, leaving a marriage, leaving a career path. There's lots of transitions in life. And so that's going to be my
focus.
And
sometimes we get afraid of what that transition might take. And so we get paralyzed in that. I have a good friend who he's about my age. He's a couple years younger, but not by much. And he's had a profession for years. He's got a wife and kids. And recently he's decided to pursue a completely different profession that required quitting his job, starting new training, massive amounts of risk from the comforts of the status quo. And he's thriving. Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, but it took getting over that hurdle of what if, or should I, or could I, or I don't know, Tanya. I love that. Let's try to get past I don't know.
Yeah.
Because if we don't know what we
just
want
understand
to do,
it. Let's just look at it. Let's just look at it. And let someone else listen to you, and let someone else ask you directed questions. Help you discover.
Because most of the time, I think both of you have said this from your different life coach training, the overall belief in coaching is that I can figure something out. I just might need help to do it.
You are whole, complete, and resourceful.
I love that. Complete, and resourceful.
Yeah. And sometimes it just takes somebody to really hear us and then
to let us hear ourselves.
Exactly.
Oh, I got it.
Exactly what I was going to say next. So
it's all clicking. Yeah. It's all clicking today. Thank you all for joining us. This has been very therapeutic for me. Thanks, ladies. Who knew?
I love the thought that in Einstein, like, it wasn't 1,000 failures. It was 1,000 opportunities to learn how to do it better. Well, no, to learn what didn't work.
That's right.
It was 1,000 opportunities to learn what didn't work. And eventually you'll figure it out. It works. And so I see life coaching as shortening the gap on that.
Okay.
Because it's an opportunity for us to start really listening to our heart, to really connecting to ourselves. And because I believe in universal energy and truth and God, it's all right here. We just have to settle ourselves down and tap into it. And sometimes it's really powerful to have somebody to discuss it with. And then you're right. Hear ourselves.
We don't have the opportunity to have these leveled up conversations every day. Right.
We don't. No, we get so busy and just
the relationship.
Busy being busy.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
But when you take a minute to have that conversation, and part of it is dreaming too. When was the last time you sat down and thought about, what are my dreams? What are my dreams for the next 5? What are my dreams for the next 10?
Yeah.
What are they?
You know, and Michelle and I often joke, we're both widows, and we say all the time, okay, this show isn't just for widows. But let's be honest, we've interviewed a lot of widows, and we know a lot of widows. And everything you've just said, Tanya, hits right home, at least to me, the heart of what widowhood is. I don't have that partner in my home and my day-to-day life anymore. Even if I had the time between 7 kids and carpool to say, hey, honey, what do you think? Not that I want my husband to tell me what to do, but he was a great sounding board. And you're in a massive unexpected or undesired period of transition. Mm-hmm. We're not in a point where yep. we said, hey, done with this relationship, looking to move forward to something new. It was taken from us. And so yeah. I'm thinking, man, we need to have like widow coaching 101 on how to dream again. I said it a lot, especially right after my husband was killed. In that very moment, it felt as if every dream I ever had died with him, because so many of my dreams involved him.
Right.
We would this, we would that, our family would the other. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to dream my own dreams, which, you know, when you do, mm-hmm. you kind of get that paralysis.
Oh, I'm just going to call you out really quick. You just said, I don't know. Jenny, we need to go to town. Only you do know.
Right. But that's what I'm telling you. No, that's where I was right after Brent died.
Yeah.
I mean, especially as a stay-at-home, non-employed wife and mother, I for a lot of years hadn't thought about what do I dream, because we had our dreams. And I don't think that was bad.
Right.
I don't think it was bad. I don't look at it and say,
no, it's not.
We had our dreams that I had to then re-examine continually, because half of we is no longer alive.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean the dream has to die.
Right.
But that was my first thought was I can't tell you how many times I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Particularly that first year. I mean, you start to think you might start to figure it out. You still have moments.
So, you know, there's that. And for me, in being involved in this coaching program, doing the work myself, I enrolled in this program 2 years ago, and I didn't complete it. I got it started. I got into the second module. And
Way to go, Michelle. So you failed.
I failed.
But you got back up and you went back in.
I was afraid to own. I have been doing self-awareness since I was 24 years old, 30 years now. And I knew how to level up in my own life. But after losing John, it felt like I needed to be responsible, and I had to do other things that I didn't really want to do. And I remember talking to my financial advisor, and he's like, everybody's a life coach. Your grocer clerk is a life coach, you know. And it kind of clung into my heart and head, and that self-doubt.
Right.
And that imposter syndrome and all of these things.
Which grief only magnifies.
Which grief only magnifies.
When you're already dealing with so much.
And so that comment alone cost me $10,000 to go and hire a life coach. And take on my own self-doubt, my own self-worth.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know what? I feel
what a journey.
I have had such a life journey that I can really assist a lot of people in a lot of different areas.
That's
amazing.
And it is what my heart wants to do. So successful or not, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to do it.
She's going to graduate soon,
That's
you
awesome.
Guys.
Everyone, good girl. I know.
To all of our listeners, thank you for cheering Michelle on as she does her certification. Tanya, thank you.
Tanya, I'm so excited to talk to you.
We're going to have to connect.
We definitely have to connect social media.
Yes, I'll connect you two for sure. And then Tanya, let's connect as well. Thank you for joining us and sharing your discovery.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks so for fun. Sharing what you've discovered about helping other people discover their own path. Like, isn't that exactly what we're all looking for?
Yeah.
I just want that self-discovery.
Yep.
Sometimes it
feels... What's next for you?
Yes, what's next? And what could it be if I weren't afraid of what could it be? Yeah. All right. To all of our listeners, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hope that you will find us on your favorite podcast platform and give us a like and a review. The more you like and rate us, the more other people can find us and hopefully find ways to magnify their own tools and their own depth of resilience. If you're listening and you have a story that you're willing to share and life lessons that you can bring to the show and maybe share with our listeners, we would love to have you on the show. You can find us on Facebook at Relentlessly Resilient or on Instagram at Relentlessly Resilient Podcast, and just shoot us a DM or email us at rrpodcast@ksl.com.
And remember, whatever you do today, remember to be kind. You have no idea the struggles others are dealing with in their lives. Have a great day.
Take care, everybody.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.